Sports Station.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Are you ready for a good game?
About an hour left in the show before we wrap things up. This is the Mike Salk Show. Mike is at home, sick, getting better. Hope you're feeling good, man. Instead, you got me, Michael Bumpus, with the Super Bowl champ, Robert Turbin. How you doing, Rob?
Ooh,
Rob, I don't think I've ever called
amazing.
You. I've never called you Rob before. Do people call you Rob?
That is a first. That is a first. But it's common. So, it was, you know what I'm saying? It was natural for me.
Yeah, all right. I usually go Turbo. It didn't feel right when I said it, Rob.
Yeah. Usually you go Turbo. But, you know, believe it or not, Rob is mostly like what people call me from home, hometown.
Okay.
Everybody calls me Rob.
I got a question for you guys. You said Super Bowl champion, Bump, you mentioned it earlier, that some of the accomplishments that Tyler Lockett has had, and obviously Super Bowl will be one next, but he is going to Germany this year. Do the two of you ever think about, like, do you wish you got to play overseas? Like in the Wembley?
Yeah.
Or do you want to? You don't see that as like, oh man, that looks actually hard. Like publicly, I'm going to say how excited I am, but privately be like, yeah, this is going to be kind of a pain.
Go ahead, Turbo.
But I'm going to tell you what, though. I'll be real. I mean, I got a chance to play in London against the Jaguars when I was with the Colts, and that was dope. But and Bump, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, being a part of the broadcast team, I believe we're going to be able to travel this year with the team, and so I'm actually more excited to go overseas as a media personnel, okay, than as a player, because as a player, you got to be locked in, you got to be focused, you know. As a media personnel, listen, you got to be locked in focus too, but, you know, listen, you know, you can let your hair down a little bit too.
I would assume we might be going to Germany and we can probably have a couple more German beers than you would if you were playing.
You know
Turbo.
What I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
If I had the opportunity to play overseas, I would have, and I think I would have enjoyed it. I played overseas, but it was for soccer. I played soccer. I went to England and stayed there for a month and played like 4 different teams, but I was 14. You know, mine is different.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But I would assume it's awesome. I'm actually excited. In 2018, the Hawks went to London. I was part of the pregame team, but I was a head coach, and I couldn't leave my team.
Oh, that was the Raiders game at Wembley, right?
Yeah, I was so disappointed, man. The guys were telling me stories. They still crack jokes to this day, inside jokes. I'm like, look, don't be talking about London around me, man. I was low-key jealous. But, no, I'm excited. Hopefully we get to go. NASA Chobe, if you are listening, our producer, please make that happen, man.
Make it happen. But we know NAS. That's what he do.
That's what he does, man. If you know NAS, man, he gonna make something happen.
He makes something happen.
All right, let's talk about these Mariners, man. It's all about the path to climbing out. Like, how do they climb out of this funk? And when can we expect Justin Upton to be there? Jerry DePoto was with us yesterday and was asked if we might see young pitcher prospect Matt Brash helping out.
He's had a handful of really nice outings. He's had another handful of outings where he's struggled to make that adjustment. It's too quick. And, you know, we want to take our time and make sure we do it right. And that goes for all of our players, is that to the best we can do that. Sometimes injury forces you to push players quicker than you'd like. But in Matt's case, we're transitioning him from a starter to a bullpen. We've talked to him about a mentality. Last night was his first one-inning outing, and I think you'll see him start to pitch a little bit more frequently here in the future, near future, rather than what were more, I guess, selectively timed outings to start acclimating him to shorter outings and I guess, more frequent usage.
And here's what he did have to say about Justin Upton. I'm sorry about that. I played the wrong cut for you ahead of time. Here's what he said about bringing Justin Upton back.
It's going to take a little time to get him up to speed and ready to play full-time, which hopefully we're there by the somewhere during this next road trip, and Justin can come help us out and really start to augment what's happening in our lineup and our outfield.
One, I really like the idea of Brash in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Because he throws dirty stuff. I mean, it's filthy. And
no question.
We learned that the second, third time around, batters start to figure him out. They're laying off of stuff. He's not hitting the strike zone. But in that seventh, sixth, seventh, eighth inning, when you just need an inning out of him and say you have a run, batters are going to be aggressive. And they're going to swing at that dirty stuff. So I really like him in the bullpen. You, Justin?
I love Matt Brash. We got to talk to him in spring training. And he, Kirby, who is – maybe the higher touted prospect between the two, was fantastic. But there was something about Matt Brash that was different. You know, and you know this. You meet any athlete, you meet, especially in baseball, you meet a pitcher, and they have the it thing. His control is not quite there. He saw some walks creeping up on him, but my goodness, the ceiling for Matt Brash is so high. And I hope, I so badly, that when he, you know, gets more innings under his belt in Tacoma, that maybe whatever it was that was holding him, or maybe some of the control pieces, he finds and comes back to it, because he does have such a big ceiling, for, especially for this lineup.
You know, and I assume guys like Romo, you know, we talk about leadership. Romo could be a guy. The dude is 39 years old. Has a beautiful beard.
Yeah.
Right? You know, well, his fastball goes, what, 85?
He's not gassing people.
He's not gassing people, but he's found his niche. He's found who he is as a pitcher. He's confident in it, and he's been riding with it. So I think stuff like that is important. We've touched leadership a lot today. I think Sergio Romo plays a big part in it. I believe during spring training, they set him in between Kirby and Brad.
Did.
Probably for that reason right there.
Totally.
So they kind of learn how to work this game and be here for a while.
Well, see, it's the guys who've been around, who've been at every stage of it, been in deep playoff runs, been in World Series, pitched in those huge high-pressure moments. And, you know, Turba talked about it earlier, too, about Red Bryant, you know, being guys who have been there, who have seen it, who have done it, who can lean on when things get tough. And we saw it in the dugout for Kyle Lewis's first game back when he wasn't playing. He was in the dugout, and he was having a conversation with Kyle Lewis. Sergio Romo was having a conversation with Kyle Lewis. And you knew right then, it's like, this guy is 15 years older than him. He has so many things that he can be telling him right now. And he was doing the baseball swing motion. So it's like, obviously they're deep in some conversation, not about what they're going to eat tonight, but about the game. And you're right. That's the older, and he's one of only a couple, really, that is the veteran presence in the clubhouse.
Turbo, who'd you lean on? Was there someone you kind of seek advice from?
In the locker room?
Yeah.
It was Leon.
Leon.
In my rookie year, was Leon Washington. He was my biggest mentor in the locker room. And it's crazy because it was like, you know, I mean, in layman terms, I was taking his job as a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, as the number two back. And he taught me things about taking care of your body and how long to sit in the sauna and why, and compared it to the steam room. These are all things that I didn't know anything about, you know. And he's like, man, I get massages every day after training camp practices. After every practice, I get a massage. You know, so it was him that I leaned on, you know, especially in my rookie year.
Now, Jerry also talked about base traffic. There's a lot of base traffic out there, but they're just not turning them into runs.
We're getting to points in our lineup where we do create traffic. If you look at our team, you know, and this is why the national experts are, I guess, a little bit more bullish on what will happen moving forward. We do control the strike zone. We do get on base. Our offense by weighted runs created plus came into the game yesterday, ranked 8th in Major League Baseball, which is, I know it's hard to believe when you're watching what's happening, but we have actually under the hood been pretty good. We're just not turning it into runs. That's why I said our clutchiness is not what it was a year ago.
And clutchiness is so hard to quantify.
Man, it sure is.
It's just in the game of baseball, it's the thing you can't take into account.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can just, only thing you can do is luck favors are prepared, right? Clutch favors are prepared. Grind out good at bats. Make sure you're not missing the only maybe one or two good pitches you're going to see. But there's just a part of it that's just purely luck. And when it's not on your side and the wheels come off, man, it feels like it takes forever to turn.
That's the thing about baseball too, man, is that a lot of it is luck and you fail so much.
Right.
Like even when you are successful in baseball, you're failing most of the time at the plate. And we're seeing failures and successes at the plate and fielding and pitching, but it's just not coming together the way that we hoped that would come together. And it's on DePoto and Service to kind of find the formula, the lineup, the approach to set these guys up for success, especially the young guys. And they got a young team right now. So there are some positives that you can look at. Base traffic, good innings by the pitchers. Julio stepping up, doing his thing. Suarez, he'll strike out a lot, but when he gets a hold of that thing, it's gone. Cal Raleigh, what, 5 hits, 4 of them home runs?
All or nothing, baby.
You know, I
love,
mean,
Cal.
It's frustrating. I understand that for you M's fans out there. And, you know, people on Twitter get at me a little bit. Why are you being so positive? That's just who I am, baby. I'm a positive guy.
Like, positive, I like to cheer for my favorite baseball team. I don't understand some of the toxicity that apparently you have to have if you've been a fan and you're on Twitter. I know that's where that toxicity lives, yeah. But come on.
Come on.
Seriously.
Cheer for each. I told him June 23rd is my date. If at June 23rd things aren't popping, then I might get a bit more negative. But until then, holla at me on the positive train, baby. All right, coming up next, we'll preview the Mariners series against the Astros, NBA and NHL playoffs, and a new award for Tyler Lockett. We'll tell you that and everything you need to know. That's next. It's the Mike Salk Show. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
No, Mike Salk. Michael Bumpus here filling in with Robert Turbin. Here's what you need to know. Mariners sent struggling reliever Drew Steckenrider, who was a key part of the bullpen that helped the 2021 Mariners win 90 games, down to AAA in Tacoma. No corresponding move was made. Thus, Seattle has one open spot on his 26-man roster. And Jerry DePoto told us yesterday not to expect any help coming by way of trade this point in the season.
It's hard to make trades early in the season. You usually don't see trades until June, July. But I don't think that we're going to be able to address any of those needs via trade anytime soon.
Sounds like you got to sit tight and make things work. Shuffle that lineup around. Get the bullpen right. Whatever you got to do, you got to coach your tail off. The Mariners open up the first game of three against Houston at home tonight. Chris Flexen starting for the Mariners against Justin Verlander on the hill for the Astros. The first pitch is at 6:40 p.m., which you can hear right here on Seattle Sports with Wyman and Bob leading you up to the pregame show.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Bay Area. Golden State Warriors advanced to their sixth NBA Finals in the past 8 years as they beat the Dallas Mavericks 120 to 110.
Golden State is going to the finals for the sixth time in the last 8 years. Big night for Klay Thompson with 32. A double-double for Looney. This crowd is back. They're on their feet, and their Warriors are going to the NBA Finals again.
Like I said, I'm joined by Robert Turbin, and I am jealous, Turbo. Your squad, six finals in 8 years, reminds me of my Lakers back in the day. You got to be hyped.
Ah, man, I'm hyped. All Bay Area is hyped right now, man. It's so good to see the Warriors get back to being successful again like this, to get to the finals, and particularly for me because I've had injuries over the course of my career, both in college and at the pro level. So to see a guy like Klay Thompson be able to bounce back from two major injuries like that and get to the finals with his team is just fascinating to see.
You know, the older you get, the more you appreciate things and what Klay Thompson has gone through. You can tell he appreciates it. He was emotional after the series win.
It's just hard to put into words, man. Like, I dreamt of this day during some dog days. And to be here, I'm so thankful for our squad, man. They started the season so incredibly well, allowed us to finish out strong, and we are 4 wins away from a championship.
Go Cougs all day, Klay Thompson. Appreciate you, man. Boston takes on the Heat tonight at 5:30. Celtics lead the series 3-2. Rap City Turbo?
It's Rap City, just like Big Tigger back in the day, right? Listen, it's over for the Miami Heat. Great season, but the Boston Celtics are going to advance to the finals after tonight.
Here's your NHL playoffs update. Carolina Hurricanes drop the New York Rangers by a score of 3-1 and take a 3-2 series lead. The Edmonton Oilers drop the Calgary Flames in OT to win the series 4-1.
Draisaitl to McDavid. McDavid shoots. Score! It's over!
Oilers move on. I stayed up for that. I had my iPad on my chest. I'm watching it go down. And Connor McDavid, I'm a fan now. I'm a fan. I like what he does, Justin.
Dude, he is the future. And that's what we were saying earlier. I really hope we're going to be saying some of the similar things about Matty Beniers here in a year or two.
Come on. Let's go, Kraken. Get it, Kraken. Game 6 between Colorado and St. Louis is tonight at 5 p.m. The Avalanche, they lead that series 3-2.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Third thing you need to know is that Tyler Lockett joins a long list of Seahawks greats as he received the Seattle Sports Star of the Year award last night after his third time being nominated. Lockett was also the winner of the 2021 Steve Largent Award and has been a nominee for the NFL's Walter Payton Man of the Year Award in the past. I mean, accolades after accolades, nomination after nominations, and he's a baller. No denying that Tyler Lockett is living a life that his parents are extremely proud of. My son is a little bit of Tyler Lockett. I'll take that, Turbo.
Oh, yeah, man. Listen, Tyler Lockett, one of the greatest Seahawks of all time. You will see him in the Ring of Honor one of these days. He's been a primary leader for this franchise for a long time, on and off the field. You come into the locker room as a young rookie, Tyler Lockett, number 16, is somebody you want to be just like.
Man, Turbo, you mentioned the Ring of Honor. Like, the past 10 years, I want to say, has produced at least, what, 6 to 7 guys who have the potential to be in the Ring of Honor. It's been a lot of good ball players for the Seahawks this past decade.
Hey, listen, the Seahawks have been a consistent winning franchise for a reason, okay? You got to give credit to Pete Carroll, John Snyder, and the rest of the, management personnel up there, man. The way that they scout players, the way that they build their culture, the type of personalities they bring in, how they develop players to become the best that they can be. And that's why you're going to see so many players get into the Ring of Honor over the next few years.
Yeah, I see it happening. I want to talk about NHL playoff hockey, though, Justin.
I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
You remember the way that you were, because we've done a lot of this conversation about the rookies in the draft. Uh-huh. Do you remember how you were talking about Tyler Lockett when they drafted him?
I was like, who?
Were you?
Yeah. I mean, I knew who he was, but
K-State, small school.
Yeah, I didn't expect much out of him. I knew that he was big in the return game. I looked at him as a receiver. I'm like, oh, he's okay. But I saw him more as a returner. That's how he got a start. I believe he made the Pro Bowl his first or second year in the return game. But he's turned this career into something special. One of the best small receivers of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay, I just wondered about that. It's like, a Bo Melton-type conversation where it's like, yeah, I didn't really have a guy throwing him the ball. He could be, and then he could be another Tyler Lockett.
What were your thoughts of Lockett early, Turbo?
Yeah, man. I was excited because of what he could do in the return game. He was more known for that, I think, coming out of college than what he was able to do at the receiver spot. But then when he came in as a rookie and you saw him run routes and be able to create separation and get off the line of scrimmage with press coverage and things like that, you knew that he was going to be a special player.
What I like about him, he has his own style. Like, his routes don't look like no one else's routes. The way he runs is his own style. Like, now, there are some traits that you want your receivers to have, right? You can kind of line up the best in the game and say, oh, they all do this the same way. But I look at Tyler Lockett. He does his own thing on and off the field. The man is a poet. It's so hard for men to be vulnerable.
Right.
You're doing poetry. You're vulnerable, man. You're putting all your feelings out there on paper. And I respect that. From Tyler Lockett. So all you kids listening out there, there's different ways to be successful. Yes, you can be the machismo guy and make things happen, but you can also be the vulnerable, enlightened entrepreneur that Tyler Lockett is. He's doing real estate now.
Right.
Like, man, I need a house.
He sold his first house.
Sold
like
his
a month
first
ago.
House. Man, crazy. My wife.
Big time.
My wife looks for houses all day, every day. Like, I'm like, babe, we just moved into this house like 2 years ago. She's always looking. So if I need a house, I am going to hit up Tyler Lockett. Also, I want to send a big shout out to my son, Michael Bumbus II. He's on his way to Portland. He got invited to play for like the state all-star team for his age group in soccer. They're going
awesome.
Down to play the Portland Timbers. Go get it done, son. Take your shot. You score a goal. I got $50 waiting for you. All right?
$50
for you. All right, when we return, we'll catch up with Brock Hewitt, our 80s movie villain himself, and ask him about some of these Seahawks rookies. That's next. It's the Mike Salk Show on Michael Bumpus and Robert Turbin filling in.
Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Hewitt is my hero.
What Brock Hewitt says?
No, he's not a villain.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Let's welcome Brock Hewitt to the show. Brock, we had almost a full segment about you yesterday. You didn't even know that, did you?
What?
We were talking about, obviously, we were talking about the Rocky theme songs and the Top Gun theme songs. You said you're going to go throw some weight around to some Maverick and all that stuff. But then we started breaking down the 80s. We're like, Brock is like every 80s villain we could think of right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like the way
But
if you know Brock, it just doesn't make sense. Uh-uh. But you could like be the poster boy for the 80s villain.
Well, your boy is a 80s soundtrack guy, I'll tell you that. I mean, Rocky IV, Top Gun, those still play. When I was on the Versa Climber yesterday, I left you guys, went in there, and I did. I started throwing some weight around, not like Turbo, and I certainly don't stretch like Turbo either, but I got after it. Top Gun, Kenny Loggins, I believe Kenny Loggins, there's some trivia about Kenny Loggins. Maybe that text toy will light up and tell you. I think maybe he was born in Wenatchee or, yeah, something like that. He's got a little Washington flavor, a little Washington
connection.
I think
he's born in Everett.
There you go. He was born in Everett. Thank you, on air, Justin. And and obviously a huge part of both those soundtracks, Rocky IV and Top Gun. So I'm down with that.
There we go.
Were you guys just talking some QBs, by the way?
Yeah,
we were talking some QBs. You know, I actually didn't even know you, I didn't know you were a lefty, man. I didn't know you were a lefty. But real quick, before we get into football, you mentioned Top Gun. Have you seen the new one? Isn't there a new one?
Ooh, there's a new one. I think it's out today. I think she's coming out today. So I think I got my tickets for tomorrow.
There it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That was made well before you were born. And that's why you also didn't know I was a lefty, because I was probably – oh, look at that. Give that to me right there. Come on, Turbo. Seriously.
Yes.
You just got to move in slow motion when this comes on.
Right.
Turbo, you get under that squat rack today, man.
Okay.
Right there.
Boom. You know what?
Boom.
I got to add this one to the playlist right here.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I have to.
Kind of gets the blood going a little bit.
It does.
What is Turbo squat these days? What could you? What could you get under that bar right now? I remember vividly, okay? So back in the day, last century, when I played, like 99, 2000, I was with the Seahawks. It was a little different times back then. Off-season began in March. It didn't begin in, like, May. It began in March. We were back there. And our strength coach, great guy, Ken Johnston, said, okay, he's Southern boy, Alabama boy. He's like, okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to get under that squat rack. This is like our first week back. He just kind of wanted to see what everybody's been doing the last few months. Put something comfortable on there, boys, and get down there, a little box, little box squat. Sit on the box, come up. Just give me something you can do five times. Don't hurt yourself. Just give me something you can do five times. And I remember watching Amon Green. Do you guys remember Amon Green?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Green Bay. Mom was a monster now. Nebraska, Green Bay, started in Seattle, fell asleep at every meeting. Part of the problem here. Went to Green Bay and turned it on a little bit. Mom put 465 on that squat bar and just did five reps like a rubber band. Like, I just took my breath away.
Took your breath away.
Song. Yeah, another Top Gun song, and pretty remarkable stuff. So, Turbo, if you got under that squat rack today, just comfortably.
Today.
Yeah, what could you do five times comfortably?
405.
Easy.
Still four plates on there. I'd be good.
Easy. Pretty easy, too, huh?
We can get that done.
I'm doing old man workouts. I'm not putting weight on my back like that.
Body weight squats. Body weight squats.
I ain't there yet, but I'm not doing 405.
Sorry. I had to do it now. I started looking at the soundtrack.
Nah, I appreciate it. Appreciate it. There you go.
This is where we are right now. This is where we are.
Ah, that's funny.
Hey, Brock, well, you know, I might as well talk some football with you, huh?
Yeah.
You know? So we were talking quarterbacks, and there's been a quarterback who got a workout with the Las Vegas Raiders, Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
And the thing that worries me about Cap, now I don't think he's going to be a starter in this league if he gets an opportunity, but he's been sitting for 5 years, Brock. Like,
yes.
The game has changed in 5 years as well.
Yes.
Like, how realistic is if he were to get some time, how realistic is that he has success?
That's a pretty tough stretch, and I have said here for a few years, and I've shared the story about Tim Tebow and Chip Kelly, who said to me, hey, listen, I had a Temple Penn State game early when Chip was the coach of the Eagles, and Tebow was in camp there trying to make it as a QB, and ultimately Chip cut him and said to me, you know, I told him what I would tell Kaepernick, and that is, you got to go play. Like, yeah, go play. And for Tim, you know, Chip Kelly said, you got to go play up in the CFL. Just go play. You need those live reps. You need to get hit. You need, you know, to train that anticipation and that accuracy. And I think those are the two big ones, Bump, that you can throw routes on air. And I know he's been doing that the last few years. Heck, he did it with with Lockett and crew up there at the UW, what, a month ago or so. You could do all that you want to, but as far as like playing the game and the speed with which that game comes at you and the timing and the anticipation and ultimately the accuracy. I mean, that was the thing that unfortunately was his shortcoming, in the NFL. I think he was a career 59% passer. So once again, where this game is today, where you got to be in upper 60s, you know, frankly, it's Drew Lock's issue. You know, you've got to be an accurate guy, and you got to play with anticipation. And when you haven't been seeing those things for 5 or 6 years, yeah, I think count me as a skeptic as one that would say, man, it'd be awfully hard, especially now. I think he's even in his mid-30s, right? This is not a mid-20s guy. This is not the guys in the USFL that I've seen for 5 weeks that are trying to resurrect their career, keep it going. Yeah, he's been out for quite some time, and I think it will be a heck of a challenge for him to get back.
You know, you mentioned USFL. We know the XFL is coming up next year, I think January or February. Do you think those are the kind of leagues that would have been beneficial for a guy like Cap?
Oh, no question. No question. NFL Europe was so beneficial to the John Kitnas, who played 16 years in the NFL. And he not played for Jack Bicknell and the Barcelona Dragons, I think he'd be the first to tell you that he probably wouldn't have made it in the league. That those were critical reps as he was starting his practice squad career and went over to NFL Europe and balled out. Jake Delhomme did the same. He played over for the Amsterdam Admirals and then ultimately came back and with Carolina took him to a Super Bowl. Damon Eward, my brother, was out of football. He was working for the late Paul Allen, saving the Seahawks, traversing the state of Washington to raise money and awareness to build that stadium there in Seattle that we've so enjoyed for the last few decades. And the Dolphins called and said, hey, we want to send you to Frankfurt, Germany to go play for the Galaxy. See if you can make it happen. He goes over there, and 12 years later, plays for the next 12 years in the NFL because of that. Kurt Warner, through the Arena League, also playing for Amsterdam. There is a long list of guys that needed those reps and needed that experience and needed, as I talked about, those reps under fire and duress, you know, where you need anticipation and accuracy. And those guys certainly utilized and leveraged that league to make great NFL careers. And that's where hopefully the USFL will be something that can sustain. Heck, the XFL a couple years ago when I was a part of that, you remember the little QB from Temple, Phillip Walker, I believe was his name.
Phillip Walker.
And he was out of football and had been in some camps, and he was in Indianapolis in camp, but, you know, kind of bounced around, used, you know, those 6 weeks to play great, to get to Carolina, and started some games in the NFL over the last couple years when Sam Darnold got hurt. So that is where those leagues, I think, could be most beneficial to that position in particular.
Yeah, there's so many decent ball players who need the reps that you just don't get in the NFL, right? It's not like they're rotating guys in and everyone's getting an opportunity to develop. Nope. They're going to play the guys that they pay. Like, we're paying you a bunch of money, or we drafted you high, you're going to get the opportunity. No knock on these guys, but they choose who they're going to invest in. And one guy I'm interested to see if they invest in, I want to know what you feel about him, is Bo Melton, man. I really like the kid out of Rutgers, bro.
Yep. Yeah, he did not have a lot of help around him. He did not have a QB during his time up there in Piscataway. And he's just got some game to him. I know he was a seventh-round pick. So to compare anybody to Doug Baldwin, who was actually an undrafted guy, is unfair to do so. And he doesn't have those kind of quicks. But it just feels like he's got some of that mindset, just some of that edge, right, that Doug had. And you guys have been around, and Turbo most recently, you've been around that program, and you've seen undrafted guys come in. And those that, you know, believe they can do it, got that little edge, they're the ones that can make it. Those that come in, start counting numbers, oh, I don't have a chance, they're not paying me. Like Bump just said, they invest in those, and I'm probably not going to make it. He sure seems like the former. He seems like a guy that's hungry, that's got an edge, that didn't have a great supporting cast, certainly no QB help at his time in New Jersey. And, he is certainly one of those guys to keep an eye on and watch.
All right, Brock, well, we appreciate your time. You go get your workout on. I envision you doing bar squats right now, just the bar, because, you know, we don't throw four or five on there anymore.
Yeah.
And you get after it, my friend.
You know what today's going to be, actually? I got after it yesterday. Today's going to be some burpees and planks.
Okay.
Yeah, and I may need that Top Gun even more today, because old men get sore, and I am sore. Have a good Friday.
All right, Brock, take care.
See you, boys.
The great Brock Hewitt. Always fun talking to him, man. And Turbo, today is my workout day. Do you work out every day?
No, I don't work out every day. I mean, I might do a little something every day, but I don't work out every day. So today is your workout day? What does that mean?
I go Monday, Wednesday, Friday as I lift, and Tuesday, Thursday, I either walk a few miles with the dog or hop on the bike, you know what I mean? Something active, but not a real workout.
I about to say, walking the dog is not a workout.
Hey, if you walk 3 miles, you get like 300 calories, bruh. That means I can have a couple beers and not feel bad. You know what I'm saying?
Are you at least getting the sit-ups in? You getting your crunches?
I get core every day. I'm not rocked up in the stomach area, but I can take my shirt off at the pool and be all right. You know what I mean?
And be cool. You can take a couple punches from your son too.
Hey, nah, yeah, shoot, he throw hands at me. You're right. Y'all better come get him.
What do your recovery days look like now that you're post professional football player? Like, do you still try to do it the exact same way, or have you kind of changed that routine?
For me, my recovery days are watching soccer games. And
so you're not doing like gymnastics. Float tanks and cryogenic tanks or anything like
not
that?
Not me. Turbo might still, though.
Yeah. I mean, admittedly, it's tapering. It's tapering, y'all. I ain't going to lie. It's tapering. It's tapering as the days go by. I get a massage maybe like once a month now. You know, I used to get them 3 times a week.
Man. You know?
Massages, yeah. 3 times a week?
3 times. In off season. In off season, I would get them 3 times a week, two at minimum.
What about cheat days? You guys do that, or you both stick to a pretty healthy diet?
Man, my cheat days.
I'm cheating too much now, man.
My cheat days whenever I feel like it. That's why I work out now.
Yeah.
Just so I could, you know, like I'm gonna go play golf today. I'm playing in this member guest tournament. You think I care about what I'm consuming?
Absolutely not.
I'm out there
having a good time on the golf course.
Workout when I get home, and then I'm out there, baby. I'm out there.
Awesome.
The other thing that's different too is, you know, I'm working out in the evenings now. You know, I'm not going to the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning no more. Mm-mm.
Switched it up, huh? That was just last year. You were in the AM.
Yeah, you're right. Because I was still trying to get back. I ain't gonna lie. I wanted to play. I still want to play. But you know what? It's cool because I got a new team now. The broadcast team. Bump.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? Big Ray. You feel me? Moyer. Babs. You know what I'm saying? Nas, I got y'all over here at ESPN. I'm happy.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to throw a bit out to Nas again. Germany, Nas. Germany. We need to get to Germany.
I want
to
see you guys on the Autobahn.
Yes. I might be dangerous, man. Go as fast as you want on Autobahn, right?
I want to see it.
Yeah, Ovechkin. I remember seeing a documentary on him. They said he's going like 160
what?
All day on the Autobahn.
Yeah, I talked to dinner with a couple friends last night. Two of the guys are flying to Munich to do the game as fans. Uh-huh. They're like, we're definitely flying into Frankfurt just so we can do the Autobahn to Munich.
That sounds
awesome.
The Autobahn?
What is the Autobahn? What is that?
So if I know the history right, it were paths made by the Germans so they can transport like their military stuff faster. So they're just big highways where you can go as fast as you want, Turbo.
Oh, yes, definitely. That is definitely in my wheelhouse right there.
So, you know what? We might need to take a trip this when we go to Germany and hop on that Autobahn and get loose. Get a German car in Germany and go fast.
My younger brother is in the military, man, so he spent a year in Germany. He's like, man, you need to get out here ASAP.
Yeah, everyone – I had an uncle who was in the military as well. Everyone I know who gone to Germany says you need to experience it. So – come on, NASA, Chobi, hook us up, baby. Well, let's get into it. It's time to rank, right?
Let's rank things.
Let's rank some things.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
All right. It's time to rank. What are we ranking today, Justin?
Well, you know, we spent a lot of time this week with you filling in for Salk, and Lefko did the same thing. We spent a lot of time talking about things from the 90s, right? We did favorite sports video games the other day, and some of those were good throwbacks from the 90s. I was upset not to hear RBI Baseball anywhere in that list.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I forgot that one.
Wow, those were some pretty fantastic sound effects. That nostalgia takes me back. I also didn't hear any of the Jeremy McGrath Supercross from the late 90s, which was also a fantastic game. Yes. I digress. Point is, tonight, Mariners 90s night, first 10,000 fans get the pink neon Mariners hat. So we just continue to talk 90s. So I ask you, Bump and Turbo, your top five 90s teams, not just players, of all time.
All right. Turbo, we'll start from the bottom to the top. We'll start at five.
Start from the bottom to the top. Can I at least get a heads up before we do a top five?
Hey, well, I'll go first so you can kind of
you can give commentary on Bumps. Listen, tell him if he's being right or wrong.
Yeah, you can do that if you want to. Ready, Turbo? All right.
I'm ready.
So no bias, right? We're in the Northwest, and people, you like this team, you like that team. It's a list, people. It's a list.
Yep.
The 90s were great. Number five, I got to go with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't like the franchise, but they had squad, man. Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman, Jimmy Johnson, fresh out of Miami. I mean,
Deion.
They were the team, one of the football teams of the 90s. I didn't like them, but I appreciate what they did for the game.
Now, did you, like, Griffey was probably the reason I ended up playing baseball. Did you have a specific athlete that you look back on and track back to the beginning of why you really fell in love with football? Was there one player that made that for you?
See, I was a late bloomer in football. Like, I liked it growing up in the 90s, but there was one player who got me really going and who made me want to play it, and that was Mike Vick. Like, Michael Vick made me want to be a quarterback. I'm like, I've loved it, love watching football, but he made me, like, dive into it like crazy.
Man, I wonder if I was thinking about Mike Vick, if he's going to be on. I know it's teams, not players. If there was going to be a Mike Vick reference in the 90s teams, and we got one right away. Turbo, anything? Any thoughts? You disagree
thoughts
with number five?
No, I don't disagree with number five. I'm curating my own list.
All right. Do you have a number five that you'd like to share? Or do you want to move on to four?
Number five, I'm going to have to go with the San Francisco Giants. Mm.
Which year?
That's a great question. Late 90s.
Late 90s Giants.
Yes.
Barry Bonds.
Jeff Kent. You know what I'm saying? Those guys. Good teams.
Yep. All right, my number four. You guys don't expect this one, but I'm going to go with the Houston Rockets, man. I like the Houston Rockets because...
I did not expect that.
The Bulls own the 90s, right, when it comes to basketball. And my kids watch TNT with me, and they say, Dad, you're going to look like Kenny Smith when you're old. So... There we go, the 90s.
Because you had Olajuwon, you had Clyde Drexler.
Yeah.
Was Robert Horry there? Was he with the Lakers?
Horry was there.
Okay.
He was there.
Yeah. And
Kenny Smith, the Jet.
Kenny Smith, that's right.
Had a squat. Olajuwon was the first center I remember attempting a three. I remember watching him attempt a three and looking at my grandma like, what?
See, what's a big man doing out there?
Yeah, he's shooting three. She goes, that's Olajuwon, baby. I'm like, all right, I got you.
Number four, okay, Houston Rockets from the 90s. What do you got, Turbo?
I'm going to stay in baseball on this one, okay, because the St. Louis Cardinals, late 90s again, had some really good teams.
Steroid era. Love it.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
When McGuire and Sosa and Griffey were going at it, that was good times, though, man.
Yep.
Renteria was on that team, I think, on those teams in the late 90s. Oh, wait, no, he wasn't. Who am I thinking of?
For the Cardinals?
Yes.
You're talking about Nomar Garciaparra.
Well, no.
Aren't you?
Nomar.
No, that's Red Sox.
That's Red Sox.
Right. I know who you're thinking about.
Oh, no. This is killing me, and I can't do this live on
the air.
Killing
me, too, because I was a huge baseball fan.
All right.
Back in the day.
We'll go to three. You let me know if you remember, Justin.
I will.
All right. Number three. I don't think you guys expect this one either. Florida State football, man. Peter Warwick. I loved watching Peter Warwick return punts. He was special to me. That whole Florida State. At that time, they had things rolling. I messed with Florida State football back then.
Yeah.
Turbo?
This time, I'm going to go early 90s, okay? And I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers, okay? Now, we know that the Cowboys dominated the majority of the 90s, but the 49ers were still very good.
Yep. I'm with that.
Got a J.D. Drew. J.D. Drew is who
I was
thinking
there
of.
You go.
The Cardinals.
There you go.
Good. Okay. Sweet. Number three?
Number two. I'm going with the 49ers. I'm from California. I grew up a Niners fan. 1994 was it? They got their Super Bowl. Deion Sanders comes over and changes the game. Steve Young gets the monkey off his back. You remember the scene where they beat the Chargers? I believe it was in L.A. when they won, too. Was it at the Rose Bowl? They beat the Chargers? I might be tripping. If you historians, let me know if I'm tripping or not. But
95 Super Bowl?
95, yeah. Let me know if I'm wrong. But, the Niners, man. I loved the Niners growing up. L.A. didn't have a team. Raiders were gone. If you're from LA, you're not, you don't want anything to do with San Diego other than just going down there to visit. So I got to rock with them 49ers.
It was Chargers in Miami.
In Miami, okay.
Joe Robbie Stadium.
There we go.
Yeah, that was a blowout. 49-26.
Blew them out.
Yep. All right, Turbo.
Justin, I think you're going to like this one, okay? And please, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I might be in the wrong era here, but I am going to go with the Detroit Red Wings.
Detroit Red Wings?
Yeah. They were
hot. Number two in the 90s. They were dominating the NHL.
Wow, I was expecting a Pistons reference in here before, nope. Before Red Wings.
Detroit Red Wings, they were a beast of a franchise for a long time before they started getting beat.
Yeah, they were the juggernaut.
They were nasty in the video game, too.
A couple cups.
You feel me?
My goodness, they were nasty in the video
game. Come on now.
Yeah, I'm with that. I like that, Turbo.
I'm well-rounded, Justin. More well-rounded than you think, okay?
That makes it sound like there was an implication that I didn't think you were well-rounded. I just didn't expect.
I'm the one that gave you the Matchbox song to play. You know what I'm saying? 3 a.m.
It must be lonely.
I love it.
Okay, this was a big, big pressure here.
It's no question.
This one is easy.
It's no
Number
question.
One is easy.
It's the Bulls.
Yeah.
It's Jordan. Jordan and him. It's Jordan and Scotty.
87, that's 75, easy. And we're in the final second. The Chicago Bulls have won the 95-96.
Oh, no. It was just, I mean, Seattle fans, it was just over the Sonics, and that's a hard one to swallow.
Yeah, I bet
that's
it
a hard one.
But
that's
no one's going to disagree. Those are fun teams to watch. It's the reason the game is what it is. Facts. It was a special time to watch. You're lucky if you got to watch the Jordan era.
Seriously.
All right.
Yeah, I agree.
Number one, Turbo? Same?
Number one. Oh, yeah. Come on now. Chicago Bulls.
Okay.
Like, it's, yeah.
Well, then
no
I'm going to go ahead and stand up for all Seattle Mariners fans. Go 95
they
Mariners.
They would love a base hit into the gap, and they could win it with junior speed this stretch. And the 0-1 pitcher on the way to Edgar Martinez. Swung on the line down the left field line for a base hit. Here comes Joy. Here is Junior to third base. They're going to wave him in. The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship.
And there we go.
I don't believe it. It just continues.
90s night tonight.
We need those vibes again, man. T-Mobile Park, Mariners, let's go. They got the Houston Astros tonight. Verlander's on the mound. You got Flexen for the Mariners. We need those vibes. I know it's going to be tough to climb out of it, but you know what I mean? It is what it is.
I mean, they did it before.
We can do it.
They can do it again. Hey, I want to thank you guys for putting up with me all week. I feel like I've been here all.
You've been great, man.
I've actually been on every day.
You have, and you've been great.
I appreciate you, Justin. Turbo, I appreciate you, man, for hopping on my guy out the bay. Enjoy the kids and the family and all that. Brady on the ones and twos. The best pitcher over here at Seattle Sports Station. I'm Michael Bumpus. Hey, and big shout out to Mike Salk, man. Hope you feel better. Get healthy. Hope the family is good. Coming up next, you guys, we're here. Jake and Stacy, we out of here.